Amen. Children's church. Thank you, Tammy. You played one song there that Lynn said that her grandmother used to sing. What was the name of it during the offering? Into the Garden, is that what it's called? Yeah, I remember that from old school. Amen. It's good to be here this morning. And good to see everyone healthy. Amen. Thank God for Alan, and he's feeling better. And so that's good. Praise the Lord. I'd like to say something about the bulletin. Miss Elaine works very hard on that, so she did not make the mistake this morning. Us hard-headed men made the mistake. We couldn't get our act together. Right, men? So I just want to brag on Miss Elaine that she does a great job in putting that all together. So anyway, we thank you for... Thank everyone for all the work that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, you know. So thank you guys for called secret warriors that are working for the Lord behind the scenes. So thank you guys, everyone. Appreciate the music, too. Looking forward to the Christmas cantata. Like Lynn said, we definitely want this to be an evangelistic outreach. We want it to be a blessing for our church family, for sure. But we definitely want it to be an evangelistic outreach that we can promote it within the neighborhood and the community, and it really see if we can get some people in to the church, you know, through this, and honor and glorify the birth of our Savior, Christ. So we're really excited about that. I'm excited that Lynn, we're going to do traditional Christmas songs, and that all of us would know. I mean, the guests would know, and the choir's going to know. You won't even really need the book. We'll know them, you know, and you'll be able to sing them, and hopefully there you get the thing fixed. I mean, we can go on. But anyway, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. 16 through 17. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. 16 through 17. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, as always, as an opportunity to teach your word, to brag on Jesus, to glorify and lift up his name through song and through preaching and teaching and through testimony. And we just love you. We take this time this morning to pause. Saying how grateful we are, Father, to live in America. How grateful we are, Father, for being able to gather together in this building here and learn and grow and become more and more like you. We just pause, Lord, and thank you for that. Lord, help me deliver this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been going through what I call some doctrines of the Bible, and that's where we're going to start this morning. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the doctrine of the Trinity, and some of you may have noticed that last Sunday when we did the communion, I talked about the Apostles' Creed and the doctrine of the Church. So this morning, we're going to move on with that. We're going to do this for several weeks. And so I think that we need to be, some of you are very familiar with these doctrines, and so maybe it won't be anything new, but we'll brush off some cobwebs, and for some of you this might be new. So this morning we're going to talk about the doctrine of the Bible, okay, and why it's important that we know that the Bible is the Word of God, the living Word of God. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, guys, this book that we're talking about, the Word of Almighty God, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners and unbelievers, and the blessed hope for us believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, and its histories are true. It's infallible. We read it to be wise, we believe it to be safe, and we practice it to be holy. It contains the light to direct us, the food to support us, and the comfort to cheer us. It's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. Again, this morning we're talking about the doctrines of the Bible. It is the traveler's map. I love that. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the pilot's compass. It's the soldier's sword. And it's the Christian's character. Amen? Right here. It's just my little Bible I towed around because it's light. Right here, for the believer, it's paradise restored. It's heaven has been opened up to us. And the gates of hell have been closed to us through these scriptures as believers. Christ is its grand object. Our salvation is its design, and the glory of Almighty God is its end. It should fill our memory. It should rule our heart, and it should guide our feet. This is the living Word of God we call the Bible. We should read it slowly and frequently and prayerfully. It is giving us life, an eternal life. It will be opened up at Judgment Day, and it will be remembered forever. It's the Word of the Lord. It involves the highest responsibility. It will reward the greatest laborer, and it will condemn all who reject its sacred truths. You see, guys, the Christian church did not claim that the Bible is the Word of God. See, the Word of the Lord itself claimed that the Bible is truth. God Almighty claimed that it is truth. Man didn't sit around and make up and say, you know what, let's make up this religious book that can give us direction. The Lord God Almighty created this word, this written word. We find that everything in the Bible, everything in here, everything that it records comes from Jehovah God. It is living and sharper than a two-edged sword. Hundreds and hundreds of passages in the Old Testament and the New Testament declares that this is the Word of the Lord. This is the Bible doctrine that we're talking about. Let's look at a few Old Testament claims. So bear with me here, because we're going to use the Word of God to back the Word of God. When we're studying the Word, I always teach guys this, that when you're studying the Word, it's always good to use the Bible to give an answer for what you're studying in the Bible. I rarely ever give my opinion about what I think the Bible says about this or that. That's where you start going down a rabbit hole to where you're really getting into what you think it says. Guys sometimes will ask me complicated questions. And I'll say, you know, I'm not really sure, but listen to what the Bible says about that. Amen? Well, what about this or that? Well, I'm not really sure. You know, you don't want my opinion. I might mess you up. But let's go to the Bible and see what the Word of God says about this particular subject. So the Old Testament says this. Bear with me. In Exodus 40:30, Moses said that Aaron spoke Everybody say spoke. That Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. In Joshua 3:9, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come and listen to the words of the Lord your God." It is written in 2 Kings. Okay, here it is. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets. He said, "Turn from your evil ways, observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your fathers to obey, and that they deliver you through my servants and prophets." God commanded these things. He spoke these things. The prophet Isaiah testified this. He said, "Look into the scroll of the Lord and read. None of these will be missing. None will lack her mate. For it is his mouth that has given this order. And his spirit will gather them together." This is God Almighty, the living creator of the universe, speaking into this. God's word is infallible. Moses wrote in Numbers 23:19, he said, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? He has spoken, and he will not make it good." See, the word of God is eternal, an unchanging. Isaiah wrote in 48, he said, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." The psalmist said in Psalms 119, 89, he said, "Forever," again, "forever, our Lord, your word is settled in heaven." It is settled. The word of God, the spoken living word of God, is settled forever. That's why he said this, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the living word of God." God's word is powerful. Again, guys, this morning we're talking about the doctrine of the Bible. See, as Christians, as believers, especially these days, because somebody can go on the internet, right, and they can find all kind of PhDs and doctors and people with 100 letters behind their name that'll say that this is just a history book. This is not, you know, it's all mixed up. There's contradictions, and if you allow these people to get into your mind, it'll poison you. So as believers, especially these days, as we go out witnessing, we need to have good, sound doctrine that we know. We know. God's word is powerful. Jeremiah said, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks and a rock in pieces?" God's word is true. The psalmist wrote, "The law of the Lord is perfect, even to the converting of the soul." And we all know what the soul means, right? We study that in the mind, will, and emotions. The word of God can penetrate a person's mind and convert it. Penetrate a person's will and convert it. It can go into a person's emotions and convert it over to the truth, so a person can stop believing the lie of the enemy. And they can start believing the truth of the gospel. The psalmist also wrote in 119:142, it says, "The Lord said through the prophet Isaiah, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It should not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it." In other words, in layman's terms, when God's word is spoken forth, ever how that works? Many ways it can work now. When God's word is spoken forth, it would go out into the world and it would do what it was accomplished to do. It would not return void. You think when the word becomes rhema, which means alive, God can, you think God can work through Sports and Field magazine? Do they have that anymore? A fishing magazine? That fishing magazine is what's called a logos word, which just means written. It's just written down. Can a person be reading a fishing magazine and God penetrate their heart through that fishing magazine? Absolutely. You know how? Because if they're doing an article from this famous world champion fisherman, and he happens to be a believer of Christ, and they're asking him, how'd you catch those bass? And he said, well, you know, I use this worm, and I toss it over here, and I do this technique. And there's times I pray, you know, and the Bible says that, you know, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. And, you know, but God said, he could quote a scripture in there. Make sense? He could quote a scripture in that fishing magazine. And old Bubba sitting in the barbershop can be reading that fishing magazine, trying to learn how to catch a speckled perch. And all of a sudden, that article, there's that word of God. There's that scripture. And that word of God becomes living right out of that fishing magazine. And the word of God becomes rhema. And the Holy Spirit moves through that word, that truth, and penetrates Bubba right there in the barbershop. Boom! Man, I need to go back to church. Man, I need to get right. My wife gets on me all the time. I need to go to church. I need to get right with God. Next Sunday, Bubba's in the church, getting saved at the altar, not because of a fishing magazine, but because of what? The word of the living God is sharper than a two-edged sword, can divide bone and marrow and gizzards and guts. That's my translation. The word of God can get right in there. God can use you to speak the word of God at work, in your neighborhood, at the bank, to the little pizza guy that delivers your pizza. Thank you, buddy. Here's a tip. $3. Hey, man, God loves you. Huh? So, bam, you can speak a little word of God in there. It don't have to be King James or NIV or NESB. You right? You hear me? Paul didn't speak King James or ESB or CIB or whatever translation there is these days. When the truth of the almighty living word of God goes forth, it will not return void. It will do what it was supposed to do. Amen? God's word is for our daily living. This Bible is for our daily living. Psalms 119:105 says the Old Testament is a guide for living a godly life. Don't ever skip the Old Testament. Young Christians do that. Get into the Old Testament. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Talked about trust a little bit in Sunday school class this morning. When the Bible clearly says, what? It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. First thing I do is imagine the camping days. You know, you got a little lantern. And we're camping, it's dark out in the woods. We're talking about country dark, you know what I mean? And you know, you be careful. You think Bigfoot's out there, you know? You don't know. You know, or buck-tooth moccasin, you know? And everybody seen a buck-tooth moccasin? Scary. Sorry. But they do, yes, sir. All fear gets all in me. I hurt myself. But you're walking through the woods with this lantern, right? And that's what the Bible says. The Word of God is like a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. So we have to hold that lantern out there, and it's only going to light up, what, maybe 5 yards? Y'all help me out. You know, 5, 6, 7, you know, 20 feet? I don't know. But you can't see well on over there. But you got to keep what? You got to keep walking. And as you walk, that lantern just kind of lights up just a little bit further. But you got to have that faith. You got to trust the Lord. Trust the Word. When it said it would guide you, it said the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. or woman, right? And as we keep walking, keep stepping, that light keeps illuminating right in front of us, in front of us. We got to walk by faith, not by sight. Proverbs 6:23, for these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the correction of discipline are the way to life. Bear with me a little bit more here. We've got some New Testament to dig into. Is that all right? The New Testament says in 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, we are also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you receive the word of God that you have heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is. God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Wow. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:13, he says, and listen to this, and we speak of these things in words not, everybody say not. Okay, we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Wow. The Word is God is a final authority. Jesus says, away from you, Satan, didn't he? He said, away from you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So an old slewfoot was trying to tempt Jesus in the desert. Jesus' words is eternal. Jesus said it is everlasting. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will be by no means will ever pass away. What he's talking about is the word of God. What we're talking about this morning, guys, is the doctrine of the Bible. That it is true. You can trust it. You can trust him. He is the Word. Now, this is when Jesus was talking with the Father. And I think this is real precious here. In John 17:8, Jesus was talking to the Father, right? And he said, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Wow, isn't that precious? That's like Jesus is talking to the Father. I love that. John 17:17 says Jesus also affirmed that God's word is true. He said, sanctify them by your mouth. That your word is truth. Amen. All right, let me close this message up with tie it up here a little bit about the doctrine of the Bible. Let's talk about this is interesting because you can apply this to your own life. So take notes here if you're taking notes. It's about the formation of the Bible. Okay? It says God used three wonderful methods as he carefully carved out this most blessed of all books, the Bible. Okay? Remember last week we talked about the Trinity, Trinity. Yes, it says these three tools of the Trinity are referred to as, and here they are, revelation, inspiration, and illumination. I'll say them again. Revelation, inspiration, and illumination. Okay? Revelation is from God. Inspiration is from man to paper. Illumination is from paper to heart. Everybody got it? Let me go over this again. Okay, revelation is from God to man. Man hears that which God wants written. So revelation has to do with the ear. I should have kept those ears. I could have used that as a prop. Lynn knows what I'm talking about. So revelation has to do with the ears. It's kind of like when God said, Moses, listen up. Here's what I want you to write down. You see, that has to do with the ear. That's the revelation. That's the revelation. That's God revealing truth. Got it? We know the Holy Spirit's all involved in this. Okay, then there's inspiration. Inspiration is from man to paper. Man writes that which God wants written. And that has to do with the hand. So we got the ear, and we got the hand. Inspiration has to do with God guiding the godly men, guiding their hands. It's revelation of Moses as he wrote down what God spoke to his ear. See this? So this was a revelation. And this inspiration through the Holy Spirit guiding them, they will write down. God was literally controlling their hand, writing down. This is what I want you to write down. And then the illumination part is from paper to heart. This is beautiful to me. It's from paper. See, God, because this is no offense. Just hang with me. This is just paper, right? I don't know if they use real paper anymore. It's probably some synthetic thing. But y'all feel me on that? I'm not saying this is the Bible, Word of God, but this actual literal book is just paper, some kind of fake leather maybe. See how it's peeling off? So, this has to do with man, right? Includes you and me. It says, receive that which God has written. This is illumination. In other words, this is what the Holy Spirit takes what was written down, right here, written down, and illuminating it. And that has to do with the human heart. See, God knows the heart of a man. This is where the Holy Spirit comes and takes all this process, and the Holy Spirit reveals truth. And earlier I talked about rhema, where it becomes alive. You know, it's the quickening, it becomes alive. The Word of God becomes alive, and it jumps off this paper into our heart, our soul, our mind, and it changes a man. It says, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be this way anymore. I need to repent of my sins. I'm in desperate need of a Savior. That's what this Word does. It comes out and it becomes illuminating. It illuminates our sin. It shows us, I'm a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. The Word of God, right? Because remember, it said it's for guiding and protection, rebuking and discipline, encouraging, counseling. The Word of God is a living, living Word of God. It is alive. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Here it is. It says, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. But men were moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. I just quoted that scripture right there. And that sums it all up. Amen? So I want to leave you this morning as we close. This is the living Word of God. Is God's Word alive in you? Do you know God? Do you know the Savior that I'm referring to? If not, I encourage you to make that decision today. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He draws you to the cross. If you've never accepted Christ in your life, I encourage you to do that this morning. You can sit right there in your pew and do that. Just, the Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Jesus died on the cross for you, and He was raised from the dead. It also said that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've never made that decision, I know most of you have been going to church for a long time, but you never know, right? So I'm going to cast a net anyway. So if you want to get saved, come on down as they do the song of invitation. And if you feel like the Lord's calling you to join our church, to be a part of our family, this would be a good time to come down to. And so, yeah. Amen.